All right, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. The Gospel of Matthew is often considered the Jewish Gospel. Why do I say that? It's very, it seems to be very much geared towards a Jewish audience. Doesn't demand that it only be Jews that read it, of course, but it does come from that perspective. With that in mind, much of the Bible comes from that perspective. I don't know if you've ever thought, but you think about the writers of the Scriptures, and they were Jewish, by and large, Jewish people who came from that Jewish background and the mindset that they were God's chosen people. So with that in mind, it really is helpful for us to get a big picture in regards to what the Bible has to say, and we're going to focus in concerning this season of Christmas. And we're going to look at how Matthew begins this account of the coming of Christ to earth. And we're going to make some observations from the body of the Scriptures that will help us understand a little bit more, and trust will give you greater understanding of what we are celebrating during this Christmas season. As you think about, just think about Christmas for a moment. I think we would all agree that Christmas has become a holiday that is not focused on Christ. And I think if we're honest, many of us in the church feel that pressure, and it seeps into our homes and it seeps into our lives. We need to realize that the whole background and basis of this holiday stems back to this event, Christ. I mean, there would be no Christmas if there had not been Christ and his coming. And it was the church that decided to set aside a time to celebrate this, and so therefore governments got on board, and now we have this holiday. In all reality, the Christian church celebrates this all year round. And it is sometimes a sad thing when we only focus on it once, twice a year. So, as you consider Christmas in your life and in your home, won't you allow the Word of God to influence you and be the prevailing influence in your life and in your home, especially during this time and during this season? Men, fathers, this lies upon you to lead in this. And this may mean at times changing up traditions and practices that you maybe have done for years. But if they are a distraction, men, take a stand and lead. And allow the true meaning of Christmas to really be a part of your home. All right, so we're going to look at chapter 1. You guys like reading genealogies? I enjoy them because it's fun to try to do the names first time through. All right, now you're going to focus on that. But listen, this book begins with a genealogy. Genealogies play a very important role in the Scriptures. Many of us will disregard them. Many of us will push right by them because of all the names. I wonder what they would think of our names today, right? But they are given to us with a reason and for a purpose. Have you ever stopped to think why we have genealogies in the Bible? If you never have, take some time to think about that. I'd like to look at this genealogy and make some observations about why I believe it's very important in a way that Matthew chooses, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, to start his gospel. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren," or Judah and his brethren. "And Judah begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begot Esrom, and Esrom begot Aram. And Aram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rechab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abiah, and Abiah begot Asa, and Asa begot Josaphat, and Josaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Ozias, and Ozias begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Achaz, and Achaz begot Ezekias, and Ezekias begot Manasseh, and Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah, and Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Salatiel, and Salatiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abiud, and Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor, and Azor begot Sadak, and Sadak begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliud, and Eliud begot Eleazar, and Eleazar begot Matan, and Matan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And I'll stop there. Of what value is that which we have just read? I think it is of great value as we consider what we have just read has now tied together the Old Testament with the New. How in the Jewish mind it has taken them back to key figures in their history. And with those key figures in history, covenants that had been made that now will be fulfilled through this one, Jesus. There were perhaps several names that you recognized in this list. Probably the majority we didn't recognize. But I want us to emphasize, I want us to first of all understand that Jesus is a son of Abraham. Abraham was looked at by the Jewish people as their father. Do we know why? Do you know why the Jewish people would have looked at Abraham as their father? This is something that is important for us to know as a church, as Christians. If we're going to understand the Bible, we need to understand about Abraham and the significance that Abraham plays in the scriptures and here in the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So let's go back and look at Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, we are introduced to Abram, his name later changed to Abraham. But in Genesis 12, 1, we read, "The Lord had said unto Abram, Now get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, if Abraham is receiving this word from the Lord, which is commonly considered the Abrahamic covenant, it is something that God has designed, and he is now inviting Abraham to be a part of something he has designed. He is saying, Abraham, this is for you. You may be a part of this. And we know that Abram obeys, and he goes with this covenant in his mind. And this covenant reoccurs in chapter 15 and in chapter 17 as Abram wrestles with his faith because of what God has said and how his life just doesn't seem to be matching up. You will notice significantly here the emphasis at the end of verse 3, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Also, we read, I will make of you a great nation. And if you remember, with Abram, he was married to Sarah, who was barren. She couldn't have any children. And so therefore, there was no seed, no children for this great nation to come about. And we know that Abram wrestled with this. We know that they had a child with Sarah's concubine, servant girl, Hagar. That became Ishmael. Oh, there we go. We're helping God out. And God said, no. No, there will be a child from your loins, from your wife, Sarah. Go to chapter 17. This is significant because we read in the genealogy that we've already looked at that Abraham begot Isaac and Isaac begot Jacob. And that was the line that Jesus was a part of. But Abraham had Ishmael. But notice what God says in chapter 17, verse 19. 17:19, and God said, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Notice that word everlasting. You see that? Everlasting covenant. Verse 20, and as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, with Sarah shall bear, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. And so what Matthew does in the genealogy is he takes the reader and he takes them back and reminds them of Abraham and of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. Through you, I will bless all families of the earth. I will make unto you a great nation. And this is an everlasting covenant. And it will be through your son Isaac, who will come from your wife who is barren. What are we seeing here? We are seeing the work of God in the people of this earth, people that choose to believe in God. Their faith. These are men and women of faith. And so Jesus was of the promised seed of Abraham. Well, what else do we see in this genealogy? He was a son of Abraham, but he was also a son of which significant king? David. David. Now, what does King David mean to the Jewish people? I mean, we remember that the history of the Jewish people was very, very rocky. I mean, they had their ups and they had their downs. When were they at their peak, if you will? It was under David, and then with David's son, Solomon. And so King David was greatly revered by the Jewish people. What's interesting is that God already knew that. God had all of this planned out because God chose David to make a covenant with him. You remember it all began as he was called out of the shepherd's fields. Hey, Samuel wants to see you. And a shepherd boy comes, and on that day, his destiny was changed forever as he was anointed to be the next king of Israel. A shepherd boy. Where was David from? He was from Bethlehem. Does that play a significant role? Yes. What tribe was he of? The tribe of Judah. Does that play a significant role? Yes. I mean, it would be great to look at all of the various mentions in the Old Testament, like with the tribe of Judah. It talks about there shall a king be a king, a scepter of the tribe of Judah. Bethlehem in Micah 5:2 with the wise, remember the wise men came and Herod said, hey, where's the king supposed to be born? And all the scribes knew where to look. Isn't that interesting? They knew where to look. It was going to be in Bethlehem. You know, the Jewish people understood their history, and it was significant to them. And Matthew, what he is seeking to do is tie this history directly with Jesus. Because you know the Jewish people don't believe in Jesus today. By and large, they don't. He is not their Messiah. He's not the promised one sent by God. They totally disregard him. Well, we see in 2 Samuel chapter 7 what God said to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7. These are key chapters for you to maybe mentally mark down as far as some covenants that are made with significant people in the Bible. Genesis 12, 15, and 17 with the Abrahamic covenant. 2 Samuel chapter 7 with is what we call the Davidic covenant. Excuse me. Let's look here at verse 8. Now therefore, so I'm in 2 Samuel 7, chapter 7, verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people Israel. And I was with you whithersoever you went, and I have cut off all your enemies out of your sight, and have made you a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they may that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after you, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Thy throne shall be established forever. And according to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Your throne shall be established forever. Now, this is coming from the Lord. The Lord does not lie. These are not just flippant things he's throwing out there to make David feel good. These are significant covenants he is making with his people as he is paving the way for Jesus. These are pointing to Jesus, who fulfills these things perfectly. So Matthew calls Jesus the son of Abraham. He is the son of David. Another item that I believe is important for us to understand in this genealogy is that God uses normal people like you and like me, and he uses imperfect people like you and like me. And he uses these people without them probably ever realizing the true significance of their lives while they are on earth. You know, little do we know the extent that our lives touch people around the world. Little do we realize the dollars that God puts into our hands that are spread around the world, the lives that are being changed. You know, God traces every dollar. I believe he does. My God knows those things. God knows the hearts of the giver. In this genealogy, we see deceivers. We see immorality. Jacob was a deceiver. Judah, it's very interesting that Tamar is mentioned in this genealogy. Tamar was not his wife. He went into her at thinking she was a prostitute, and the result was children. This is not an ideal situation, is it? It's not necessarily something that maybe you and I would look back and say, I'm proud of it. But I believe what is so interesting is that the God of grace and the God of mercy, through his very Son, sending his Son Jesus to become a man, to walk on this earth where you and I live and reside, he understands this life. He knows all about it. And he wants to use us for his honor and for his glory. God chose to use Judah, Tamar. There's even Gentiles in the list. Rahab. Now, she was a Canaanite, Jericho. What a glorious life change that was. I mean, think about it. She chose to believe in the God of her enemies. And God saved her and her family and chose to use her in the line of the Savior. Wow. Of course, there's Ruth, Boaz, and Ruth. She was a Moabite. A Moabite. Who said to Naomi, may your people be my people, and your God, my God. And so she went back to Bethlehem with Naomi. And she married Boaz. And through that marriage came Obed. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse had sons, and the youngest one was David. David. And of course, Jesse didn't realize he'd be the father of the greatest king of Israel. You know what? It is so good that God doesn't give us all those details ahead of time. Because you might be sitting here today, the father or mother of one of the greatest leaders our world has ever known. One of the greatest leaders that our Christianity has known for hundreds of years. A mighty preacher of the gospel that will bring about a mighty revival in our land. We don't know. We don't know. These people, they didn't know all the details. David, he was known as the man after God's own heart, right? Wow. What a title. He wasn't perfect, though, was he? And what, isn't it interesting that here in this genealogy, Solomon, who was the son of Bathsheba by David, which, let me remind you, Bathsheba was not David's wife until after he had her husband murdered and he lied about it. This was King David. You go down through these sons of Solomon, Rehoboam, many of them wicked and evil, some of them righteous. You read about them being carried away to Babylon. Why are they carried away to Babylon? Why was God's people in exile? Because of their sin, of their rejection of God and His ways. This was the Jewish people. Remember your history, Matthew says. Remember. And so, even through that time of exile, God preserved a remnant of His people, and they were brought back to Israel, and the temple was rebuilt, and the walls were rebuilt. And so then, along comes the about 400 years after those things were built, rebuilt, along comes the line of King Herod. And King Herod placed in rule over the area of Palestine under the Romans. And so there is King Herod in Jerusalem. He designs and builds the temple and all of it. It makes it even bigger and greater. And then, there was this man, Joseph, who was born. He was born in a small little village in Galilee. And he was of the line of Judah. But his family had moved or settled in Nazareth. Matthew wants the reader to understand that Jesus, He's a son of Abraham. He's a son of David. He is the son of normal people. But yet, He's the son of God. Notice Matthew's careful delineation of that point in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. What's those last four words? Of the Holy Ghost. Church, the doctrine, the teaching of the virgin birth is of utmost significance to Christianity. That Mary, a real live human being, gave birth without ever knowing a man to a real live human being named Jesus, who was, according to the scriptures, conceived through the Holy Spirit, who is God. And so on earth, for the first time ever, and this won't ever happen again, there was a man who was completely man, but yet completely God. If that has your head spinning, good. Because that's something that is fascinating about the way God works, is he does things that leave us with our jaws hanging down, and we're like, wow. What is significant about this, folks? It is significant because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by God's design, sin had to be paid for by death. And God, through his love, sent his only Son to this earth to become that perfect Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And everything had to be lined up just right. All the details mattered. He was a son of Abraham, answering that covenant. And through him, all the world would be blessed. He was a son of David, because through him, the throne of David once again have a ruler who would rule forever. He was the son of a woman, son of a virgin, Mary. Meaning he was completely man and had a body and had blood coursing through his veins. But he was completely God. He was a son of God. Meaning that he was completely perfect. The only one who could ever completely satisfy God's demand for sin. So why do we celebrate Christmas? I trust that God's word, as we have looked at it today, you know, there are so many more things that could be brought into this discussion. But as you look at the word of God, as you look at the genealogy, even as we were just touched the surface of Joseph and Mary, as you look at all of those things, take a moment and realize what God is doing here. And realize that this was all set in place from eternity past. And it's happening just as God wanted it to happen. That same God is still at work in your life and mine. This same gospel that Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect sinless life, was buried. He died, he was buried, he rose again, is the message of salvation to this world. You are saved because you believe the gospel of Jesus. We are saved because God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I trust this breathes new life into what you're celebrating. Christmas. It's about Christ. Lord, thank you for our time together and for the depth of your word. And what a joy it is to see it all put together. And so, God, I'm so grateful your spirit goes with us and teaches us. And would you use your word continually throughout this week to encourage and build up your church. Oh, we are excited about Christmas. But God, help us to be excited about you and what you've done, about the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.